All right, we'd like to thank Karen and Jake Abelovitz for sponsoring this morning's Locks and Learn. Leila and Ishmael, Jake's brother, parents, Eliel ben Abba and Leah Bas Avram, and Karen's brother, Yeshua ben Shimon Dov, then Hashemah should have an Aliyah. Okay, so we are new topic, starting a new Mishnah. So in the second chapter, Mishnah Beis, we are going to be discussing Torah and Derech Eretz. So the question is, don't get too excited, you yekkies out there.
Yeah.
Okay. So it Okay. Well, the question is what one of the things we'll see. We'll read the Mishnah in a second, but we're going to address what Derech Eretz actually means. Might be somewhat more controversial than you think, or at least debatable. And then and we'll see some other pretty interesting ideas that'll come up for the Mishnah. So let's just dive in. As we read the Mishnah, my goal for today is actually to ask questions. I'm not sure we're going to answer any questions. I'm not sure we ever answer any questions. But today, we're purposefully going to only ask questions. As we're going to see, there's a lot of questions to ask. So as we read the Mishnah, let's use our investigative tools to try to figure out any questions that you have. Anything goes. Anything is a fair suggestion as to things that don't make sense or things that we have to understand better in the Mishnah. So let's go. Source number one. The source says, Rabbi Gamliel Benosh Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. So if you remember, the previous Mishnah was Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, Rabbi Omer. That was the previous Mishnah. So now we have his son, Rabbi Gamliel. So Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, says the following. Yafe Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. Yafe. So what does Yafe mean? It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Beautiful to combine, to have some sort of connection of Talmud Torah with Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz, we're not going to translate officially yet. In the translation here, it says worldly occupation. Is that what Derech Eretz means? Worldly occupation? Not so clear. So that's what, for now, let's just leave it. Talmud Torah is good with this thing called Derech Eretz. Why? So why is it good with this thing called Derech Eretz? Shiyagiyas shnehem mishkachas avod. Because working hard at both Torah and whatever this Derech Eretz is will help us forget sinning. Okay? Okay, good. So get busy with positive things. All right, so let's jump off of your comment, Laser. Does that make sense? Anybody think that would be a good way of reading this? Or at least ask a question on Laser's presentation. The goal is to keep busy so you don't have time, you forget to sin. Is there a problem with that interpretation? Maybe not. Maybe.
No, people.
1 second, yeah. Yeah. Right. So when you're doing nothing, so it's gonna cause problems. When there's an absence of productivity, it'll breed some level of sinning or idleness is not gonna lead to good things. So that's not a question. You're saying the same thing that Laser's saying. Okay. Good. Yeah.
We know people, unfortunately, who sin in a very big way.
Right, so yeah, people sin, even though they are. So a question could be, is this a guarantee? So I'm learning Torah, I do have a job, or if you translate Derech Eretz as job, or maybe, you know, Midos could be another possibility, but I have all that. And you're saying, okay, but they still sin. Okay, so that's a good question. And any more? Yeah.
It doesn't only mean to forget. The root of that means to ease or push away pain.
Painkillers. Push away, mishkach. I'm not sure about that. Okay, yeah. Right. Excellent, right? So that's a good question. If the concept is, and we'll see soon, that's the question the Maharal, I believe, asked. Yeah, the Maharal in source number, the next source, we'll get there, is that if the whole goal is just to keep busy, so why do I have to combine them? If the goal is yagia, if toiling, if being preoccupied is what's going to prevent me from sinning, then Just do Torah all day. Right? So what's added by this Derech Eretz? Good question. Okay, so let's keep going. V'chol Torah she'ein imam melacha, any Torah, so it seems to be a continuation, and thematically it seems to make sense that it's a continuation, and all Torah that doesn't have with it melacha, sofa betela v'goreres avon. If you don't have melacha, translated more easily here as work, with your Torah, it's going to, in the end, become batel, nullified. So what's going to become nullified? The Torah, okay? The Torah is going to become nullified, vigoreras elbon, and it's going to cause sin. So is this a continuation? Is it a separate thing? Notice what's different between the first clause and the second clause. Right, so the first clause says Derech Eretz, second clause says Malacha. So now you have two options. Are these synonyms, or are they definitionally different? If Derech Eretz meant worldly occupation, and then I'm saying Malacha, which presumably is more easily translated as work, then is it a continuation or not? If it's a continuation, maybe it should have used the same word. If it's using a different word, is it fundamentally different things? Is there a small difference between these two? So what's the, basically our question is, what's the difference between Derech Eretz and Malacha?
The Malacha involves, Malacha be used as something that you use to toil at Tamatora. So it's just a way, it's a different variation of the word Malacha. We assume Malacha means work. Maybe Malacha means...
You're saying it's an aspect of Torah is Malacha. Okay, good. I'm not sure I saw anybody who said that, but that, in theory, you said it. Good. So there, the Torah has to have an element of Malacha, not meaning work, not meaning a job, but meaning that it has to have some yagiyah, it has to have some, right? Okay, possibly. Yeah.
What about all the kolels?
Right. Okay. So now, so you're asking an external question to the Mishnah. The external question is, depending on how we understand what this Mishnah means, then we have to see, okay, what historically or in terms of philosophy of different communities, how is this Mishnah going to be dealt with in different communities? If the Mishnah at face value is saying you need to combine some level of working and Torah, and without it, not it's bad, it's going to be sinning, so now we're going to have to grapple with that. If I have a community that doesn't have Malacha, they're going to need to explain this Mishnah somehow. But again, that's a question that's external to the Mishnah. That's how people have to interpret the Mishnah. That's how they have to, you know, but the Mishnah itself could be good on its own, and you want to misinterpret it or put it to the side or say, I have a different Mishnah, or whatever you're going to deal with it. So it's a good point, but it's not internal to the Mishnah. Yeah? Right, so that's, again, we're not answering it yet, but that's fundamental to understand this, is we need to be able to distinguish between those two things, and we'll get that. That's the source they're going to deal with it. What I'm doing, my goal right now, is that we're building all these questions, which is good. I want us to be thinking about these are things that the Mefarshim are going to have to grapple with if they're going to want to understand the Mishnah. Yeah. Okay, so maybe Derech Eretz can mean either midos or job, but Malacha means specifically job. Okay, we have another option here. If you want to say Derech Eretz is job and Malacha is also job, so then what could be another possibility? If they both mean working, but there's a subtlety, there's a difference between the two, so what other move can you make to understand the distinction? Right, so different types of jobs. You could have your blue collar job. You could have your white collar job. You could have, are you working with your hands? Or is there some sort of physical aspect here? Or is there some sort of, I'm sitting in an office all day? Is there a difference between those two things? So we'll see that in the Mefarshim as well. Yeah.
Generally speaking, the concept of Derech Eretz is midos.
So I'm going to stop you there. That's not true, right? So that's where we're trying to figure out. So Derech Eretz could mean midos. It could also mean working. We need to know in our Mishnah what it means. It could be either one. So we will, and we'll see the Mefarshim are going
to
go on both sides of the camp. So in different, you could quote 100 different terms where Derech Eretz is used. Sometimes it's going to be more explicitly work. Sometimes it's going to be more, it's going to be specifically midos. And the question is, in our context, which one is being used? But to say derech eretz always means midos is not true. It doesn't. It means either midos or working. For our purposes, what does it mean here? Yeah. So this is relevant to the discussion of im ein kemach ein Torah, that if there's no flour, if we understand that, we'll get to that at some point. If there's no flour, there's no Torah, meaning if there's no funds, then I can't sit and learn all day because I don't have any food and I'm going to die, so I need to have some level of kemach too. So this Mishnah will be related to that if you understand it in that working realm. Yeah?
It's interesting, the first one talks about Talmud Torah. Second one just says Torah, and I think that there's a difference.
Okay. That could be. That's a good close read here. Talmud Torah presumably is the act of learning. In the second clause, you could make the argument that Kol Torah means any participation in Torah, any following of Torah, any Torah lifestyle, if you will, right, without malacha. Okay, because that's a good diuk there. Okay, so. Right, so getting back to Chaim says, work hard, there has to be some yegia, working hard, the malacha in the Torah. That could be too, if you're just going to sit back and relax and, you know, listen to a shir while you're on a beach, you know, drinking then it's not going to work. You know, Torah has to have some level of seriousness and work towards it. That's definitely a nice read. I'm not sure that's pshat, but it's definitely a nice read. Let me ask you this question. Why, if you before you read this Mishnah, maybe I should have asked you before, if I would say the first clause would be, it's good to combine Torah, let's just go with Derech Eretz being work. It's good to combine Torah with work. What would be the reasoning you would give to that? Good to combine Torah with work because, Yasi?
You need to make parnasa. The Rambam is saying you have to dedicate a certain amount of time for parnasa.
What's the concept?
The concept of you have to balance your spiritual with your your needs.
So why? Why would I have to do that?
Because you'll be hungry if you don't. You only dedicate Torah, and you won't have any Torah if you won't be work.
Okay, so a functional perspective of if I'm not working, I'm not going to be able to have food, right? So is that what he says? Does anybody have another thing you would have said? What would be the?
Because the Torah guides us and how we should do whatever.
Right. So meaning, you could make this is a big philosophical, you know, lifestyle. The Torah promotes us to live a life, which includes working, because working is part of life, and you have to keep Torah with that. You have to make sure that you balance the two together, right? That's not so I can forget to sin. It's because that's my goal. That's my value. That's what Torah is all about. So to prevent sin. That seems so lack of, it's anticlimactic, if you will. Yeah.
The application, the values of the Torah in your everyday life. It's very similar to the comprehensive education. What's the value of learning algebra or calculus? If you do it with, let's say, you do on the hands of training as a dresser, so you see the application. Same thing with Torah
Learning Torah helps you in how to live a Torah lifestyle, how to work a Torah lifestyle. Yes?
Yeah, but there are so many mitzvot in the Torah that are pertinent to working, that if we're studying Torah and we're just kind of almost negating it in our minds, then right, we're not fulfilling the entire.
So there has to be some balance of practice with learning. And again, so that would be, I think that where we're going here is that this is the essence of what it means to be a Torah Jew. And it's not, that's why I'm combining these two things. This is our MO. This is what we're supposed to be working on forever. This is it. And it's like, okay, do this because you'll forget about sinning. Yes, and then we're going to move on.
All right, we're going back to if you ask my daughter that her husband is still calling, she said, "Mom, you know how hard work is to learn the whole day? It means maybe studying, working very hard in the Torah. That might be also here."
Right, so again, that gets back to what Chaim was saying. If you're going to look at the Torah, the Malacha, is the work, is the Yegia, then great. Again, I'm that's fine. You could read it that way. I'm not sure that would be the Pashut Pshat, and then you'd have to figure out what Derech Eretz means, but it's a fair point. So you could reread it and get it back to Rachel saying, how is somebody who's learning all day going to read this Mishnah? So maybe they'll read it sort of like that. If I'm working hard and I'm toiling in Torah, then that's enough for me to be Mishkachas of them. Yeah, and then...
I think there's a very... there's a nuance here, because the first sentence seems to be a suggestion. Yafeh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like as if the Rabbi Gabriel is saying, this is a good thing to do. I give my advice. Whereas the second part is a statement. Kol Torah, in other words, it's a very different kind of, you know, we seem to be...
Excellent. The formulation of Yafeh, and we'll see that Barb Nell is going to say this. What does it mean it's good? It's nice. It's aesthetic. It's beautiful. That's a strange way of formulating it. It's like, no, this is it. Like, it's nice. What if I don't want, like, you know, is it, do I have to? Is it, you know? Okay, so now, good, all good questions. And we're going to see them all inside shortly. But we have to now grapple with the third clause of the Mishnah, which is, we have to decide, is this related? Is it not related? Is it totally, you know, what's going on here? The third clause here is, V'chol ha'amelim im hatzibur, you amelim imahem l'shem shamayim. Anybody who works or toils, right? So you have a nice comparison from Yegia, from the first part of working hard, to here's amelim, you're working hard again, but now it's not working hard with Torah, it's not working hard with Malach, it's working hard with the Tzibor, community work. So anybody who's working hard with the Tzibor, you amelim imahem l'shem shamayim. So your motivation should be for the right sake, for God's sake, for the sake of heaven. Now he continues, so because the merit of your fathers will help you or sustain you, and their righteousness endures forever, and you, I, right, and for you, meaning presumably those who work for the tzibur, l'shem shemayim, I, presumably not Rami Gamliel, but God, ma'ale ani aleichem, I will equate that, I will consider it, I will give you lots of reward as if you yourself did it. Okay, so we're going to have to understand all of this concept of working with the tzibur and all this schar and all that. We're going to try to understand that probably on a different week. But for our purposes now, what in the world does that have to do with the first two clauses, right? Why is this put here? And notice what the transition is. It almost sounds like it's supposed to flow. He says, "Kol Torah she'eini ma malacha, sofa b'teil b'goras abon." Any Torah that doesn't have malacha is going to cease and going to cause sin. V'chol ha'amelim. And anybody who works hard with the tibor, etc. What's the connection? Is this a totally separate thing? Is it a connected idea? Again, we'll save that, but important to keep that in mind. So now flip the page for a moment. We're going to start with the Abarbanel. So the Abarbanel, as I've pointed out in the past, likes to ask lots of questions. So here you have on the bottom here, he says, if you go, so there's one big first paragraph, go to the beginning of the next section. So he said, the first word is va'ani. Va'ani ra'isi l'sh'ol b'mishnah azos shmonad dvarim kemosh sh'alti b'divar aviv. I'm going to ask eight things. Eight. And eight's not that bad. Right? You can get like 75 in the Abar Manel. Right? So eight's not too bad. But I'm going to ask eight questions. And then what he's going to do as he goes, and we're not going to do all this inside, or even, again, our goal today is not to answer the questions, to ask the questions. I'm going to ask you eight questions, and then we're going to try to figure it out as we go along. Now, some of these eight questions aren't exactly on the Mishnah. It's on a broader context. So we're not going to go through all eight questions. But let's go through some of them. Let's start. And then we're going to do the first paragraph afterwards. It's a little bit of a different problem that's extra to the text, but fascinating nonetheless. But I want to keep the momentum of the section that we're doing now. So let's go. Hashela Rishona. Lama Omar... Yafe Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz. Why does it say it's beautiful? V'tafos b'zeh lashon yofi. That's not an aesthetic. What does beauty have to do with anything? V'yaroi lomar tzarech Talmud Torah im Derech. You have to do it. You have to combine Talmud Torah and Derech Eretz. That's how rabbis usually talk. You got to do something. Not it's nice to do something. You got to do it. Ki ein ha'inyanim ha'torahim nitzlim b'na'eh. It's not a value, a beauty judgment. Is it nice? Is it pretty? Is it beautiful? Or is it disgusting? I don't know. It's you do it. You do it. You don't do it. So why are we giving this value statement? Kiim b'moel v'atzarech kifei Torah. I got to do it or I don't got to do it. So that's question number one. And we brought that up. Again, I think this is one of the reasons why I'm doing this, is to show that if you think and you do a close read, you, me, and all of us can ask the questions that all the Mefarshim deal with. Right? This is where you don't need a special, extra whatever. We're smart people. We can figure this out. You know, we got to take the text and analyze it. So, Hashela Hashnia, Ba'omro, Shiyagia Shnea Mishkachas Avon. The toil of both of them helps you forget sin. Ki lama lo nasan hatachlis lasias hatova yashar o liknos chayalam abba. Why are you saying the goal is to forget sin? You could have said, slightly different than the way we presented it, but still it's close. Instead of saying the goal is to prevent sin, the goal is to do what's right. Right? Combine Torah and Derech Eretz, because that's yashar v'tov, concept we've spoken about in the past. O liknos chayalam abba. Okay, You want to get to reward, so get to reward. You don't want to say, just do it because it's the right thing to do. Say, I'm going to do it because I'm going to get to Olam Haba for this. Right? You're minimizing the purpose of combining Torah and Derech Eretz, saying the only reason to do it is because it's going to help you forget sin. No, I'm going to do it because I'm going to get Olam Haba for it. I'm going to do it because it's the right thing to do. V'amar, continuing, Mishkachas Avon Shu Levad Sur Mira. The only goal is to avoid sinning. Gamshi yiksha omro mishkachas. You could also ask on the word mishkachas. Ki magma sa'adam roi shetia besur my rav ase tov. Lo lahabi de shikha avon vea roi lamar misira avon. Right? Even the way he presents the forgetting is so, like, again, it's so negative. Right? You're going to forget sin. So my goal is to forget sin? What should be my goal?
To avoid sin.
To avoid sin is very different than say to forget sin. Right? Forgetting sin just means like, okay, I forgot it. It slipped my mind. But if I remembered it, then I don't know. I probably would have done it. You know? So it's not mishkachas avon. It should be mesiras avon. I should remove sin, not forget sin. So even if forget about not saying you're going to get olam haba. Forget about not saying it's the right thing to do. Even the way, if you want to say it's a sur meira, you want to say it's to avoid something, don't say mishkachas. Say I'm controlling it. I'm avoiding it. I'm not forgetting it. It's like I'm mindless about it. Yeah.
I think basically like the Mishnah is going on the most rudimentary level of even earlier on, like by reward and punishment, because they realize that humans are not necessarily looking at things in the abstract. They have to go on really on the basis, level to say, what's in it for me.
Right.
Then hopefully you can reach the high.
So level. Even if you want to interpret it in terms of this is like they're being practical, down to earth, talking to the people, which may be factually incorrect, meaning you have to think about who is this Mishnah for, right? When he's writing this Mishnah, is it for the masses of people, or is it for yeshiva students, or his class, right? So you could debate that answer, but even if you go with so he's being practical, down to earth, he's not being so philosophical and analytical and all that stuff. You could still say, by doing this, you'll avoid sin. Like, the forgetting sin is like, you're saying, he's trying to get into my motivation. My motivation is that I'm going to work so hard that I'm going to forget sin. That's a better way of formulating it than my motivation is going to be that I'm going to avoid sin. I don't know. But a fair point. Yeah.
A bowl of soup over to Mrs. Cohen, as opposed to Reuven, you have to take a bowl of soup over to him. It's a different way of saying something to them.
So right, and maybe it's a better way to speak, and it's a nicer way to speak, and that's fair, and maybe that's what his goal is, but you still have to ask the question, because you don't really get that much in rabbinic statements. You don't get it's a nice thing to do. You know,
he's using Derek Erickson in order to say this.
Maybe, and that would be, that could be an answer to it, but you still have to ask the question, right? So good, but yeah, there's no, it could be. Yeah, Joyce. Yeah. Right. Right. And again, that could be true. That I want you to do this, but that's talking about the motivation of the teacher, right? Which is fine. That's good. It's just not the same thing Freddie would say. Freddie was saying the motivation, he's trying to motivate the students. You don't motivate students by saying, you know, let's be engaged so you can forget about the fact that you don't want to be here. Right? You just engage them. You can't. Okay, last, and then we're going to keep going.
I think maybe that the difference between Yofa and Sorry or Chuyav is that, Sorry means that it's for everybody. You have to. Yofa means it is a nice thing, and it maybe isn't for everybody has to do it. It's a good thing, and people want to do it. It's a very good thing. It's a positive thing. It's not something that you say it's not good.
So, have to learn Torah. So it's not a command, but it's a suggestion.
It leaves room for people not to follow this.
That could be. Okay, good. So Tzarech is different than Yafeh, because Yafeh gives you some more wiggle room. Okay, good. So that's question two. Question number three. Hashela shlishis, ba'omro b'chol Torah she'ini ma malacha sofa b'teila. Any Torah that doesn't have malacha is going to cease. Umi ayin lamad. Where did he learn this from? Me ayin lamad, Rabbi Gamliel Zeh. How does he know this? Any Torah that doesn't have malacha is going to be batel. Ha'im kol chachmei Yisrael, ayu ba'alei malacha b'umlos. Is it a prerequisite that if you're a sage, you had to have had a job? Presumably not, even though we do find that sages did have jobs, but it doesn't mean that every sage had a job. Some sages didn't have jobs. Ein safech she'im heyos shayu mehem bale malacha lidalosam kvar hayu acherim rabim shetorasam hayom nasam. We know concept in the Gemara is that there was a group of people who Torah was their umnas, which means that it was their job, it was their occupation. Lo hayu bale malacha, they didn't work. He said, look at his father, look at Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, and all of the family. They didn't work, they just learned. Okay? Yeah.
Well, two things. One, obviously he is interpreting Derek Harris clearly as work.
So correct.
That was one of our original questions.
As
to what it was.
At least the second clause is malacha. Right? Meaning everybody agrees the second clause would be work. So the first clause, not sure. He does talk about it. I didn't quote it to you here. He does talk about what Derech Eretz means. But in terms of malacha, this one's clearly just a malacha statement. But yeah?
The other point I was going to make is, let me ask a question before that I thought it was getting too far ahead of ourselves as to what did they do in the Torah? We know there's a lot of Gemaras with at least some Aurelian where they work, one had fear, one had fields, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And there's certainly those, like you say, who didn't work. I don't know, I can't remember specifically with the Tanayim, if that was as true as well as the Aurelian. But what my thought was at that time, was that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was a very wealthy man. He must have worked. I don't know how he got his wealth.
Or he inherited it. I don't know. But,
you know.
Right, so a lot of them were, even the Tanaim were, I mean, the story about Rabbi Gamliel was the Nasi, and then he went to go visit Rabbi Yeshua, and he was a blacksmith, and he was all, you know, and he said, you don't realize how, you know, we need to support ourselves. So they definitely did work, and you have the whole discussion about, you know, the Machlokas, whether or not you need to work, you know, you combine Torah with working or not, or do you just learn all day? And said, Harbe Asu, that they just worked, that they combined Torah and working, and it was good for them. And Harbe Asu, that they just learned, and it lo also be other. It didn't work for them. So again, this is a big sugya. This is not just this Mishnah. This you got to look at a lot of sources to decide. And we're not doing this right now. To decide, you know, which one of these methods is more correct, or you know, with Torah only or Torah in Derech Eretz approach. That's not the point for right now. In the Mishnah, the question is, how does he know that me not working is going to lead to sin? If anything, this gets back to the flip of what you said before. You said before, look, you have people who are working and learning and they still sin. Here's, you have people who are just learning and they're not sinning. you know, at least as far as we can see. Let's give him the benefit of the doubt, you know. So he says that there are plenty of people who just learn and they're not sinning. So how does he know this? Shela Haravias. Fourth question. Ba'omro vigoreres avon. V'hu mamar zarma od. It's a very strange way of saying it. Shelo dai shenemar shatorah she'eni ma'malacha lo tiyeh mishkachas avon. It's not enough to say that Torah without malacha is that you're not going to forget sin. El shagama Torah hahi goreres avon. You're saying it's that you're, what you're saying is that the Torah itself is causing the sin. Right? It's the learning Torah on its own is goreres avon. It's a mind-boggling thing to say. Right? The Torah, it's not that the lack of working is causing the sin. It's the Torah is causing the sin. Right? You can't say things like that. So how is he saying things like this? Right? So it's a very mamar zar ma'od. Ve'echa Torah ima malach o mebilta tigrob avon. The Torah without malach. The Torah is going to cause you to sin? Ridiculous. Hush. Well, okay, maybe not ridiculous, but at least it's a question. Right? We'll have to figure out how to answer it. But
yeah.
Right, but there's a difference between saying that if I don't practice the correct way that I'm going to cause sin, then the Torah is causing the sin. Right? That's a stronger way of formulating it. Okay, so question number five. Okay, we'll read question number five, and then I think we'll stop after five. So he says, Hashela Chamishas ba'omro ba'atem ma'ala ani aleichem. So this was the last part about if you serve the tzibur, if you work for the tzibur with the Shem Shemayim, I'm going to give you a lot of schar as if you did it. So the question is, Kimaya Rabbi Gamliel Hamedaber Bechol HaMishnah Azos Eich Amor Ma'ala Ani Aleichem. So how do you switch, and I alluded to this when I was translating it, Rabbi Gamliel talking, and then all of a sudden he switches to God as being the talker, right? I am equivalent, I'm making it equivalent to that you get all the reward. Kilu Asisa B'Shem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't do that. You can't just change the speaker in the middle of a sentence without telling us. So that's the fifth question about the third clause. Flip, we're going to ask a few more questions. We're going to come back to that first paragraph in a moment. Flip the page back to the Derech Chaim. Looks like my numbers got cut off here, but the three is actually after the source. I see what happened. But it's the first under the Mishnah. The first under the Mishnah, it says Derech Chaim al Avos. This is the Maharal. So the Maharal is going to ask a few more questions. Some are going to overlap, I think, but some are independent. So Rav Gamliel, V'yesh lishol b'mamar zeh. So we could ask the following questions. Kilufi anira hayelo lomar yafe talmud Torah kasher ima derech eretz. It should have said, and we'll see why this is important in a second, it should have said Talmud Torah is good when it is with derech eretz. So what's the problem? Why is he saying it this way? It should have said it this way, but not the way it says yafe talmud Torah im derech eretz. Instead, you should say yafe talmud Torah kasher ima derech eretz. Can anybody guess what that would change? What's the difference between formulating yafe talmud Torah im derech eretz, which is the way we have it, versus yafe talmud Torah kasher ima derech eretz? What's shifting here? Yeah.
I think when we're saying in there at Eretz, we're kind of equating the two of them equally, whereas we're saying, he says first, She'imad there at Eretz, that there at Eretz is with it, it's kind of adding an addendum to it as opposed to equating the two of them.
Okay, so Yafa Talmud Torah in Derech Eretz equates, Kasher Ima puts Talmud Torah higher than Derech Eretz. Right? Okay. Close. Good, but close. It's even stronger a little bit. Yeah?
I think the Derech Eretz is an ikar here. Because without it, the Torah.
Okay, before you get to, you're already solving the problem, let's ask the question first. The way it's formulated, Yafe Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz, sounds like, the Maharal argues, that Derech Eretz is not equated, it's more important. Right? Yafe Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz is that, you know, you have Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz is your ikar. Derech Eretz is the essential. And it's good to add some Torah to that. Right? And so that's how he understands. Yafe Talmud Torah im Derech Eretz seems to put Derech Eretz higher, Now, if you want to say maybe not, okay, then your question of them being, your point of their, at the very least, you're equating them. Okay, but let's see how he says. V'lo Torah im derech eretz ki asa ikar derech eretz. There's a way that the Maral's reading it is that derech, when you say yafet talmud Torah im derech eretz makes it higher. Now you can do this in different ways. So let's say you want, you could do, in the English language it goes in a few different ways. You can say I want milk with my coffee, right? So what's the ikar and what's the tafel? What's the essential part? The coffee. Right, I want milk with my coffee. So coffee and the milk is so that would be the same way of saying I want Torah in my derech eretz. I want my milk with my coffee. That would be the way to say it. But it doesn't really fit because you could also say I want a bagel with cream cheese. Right, so it can go either way. In that case,
that's because we know the bagel is the ikar.
Right, but that's the point. The point is that the way that it's formulated can go either way. The Maral's assuming the coffee, the milk with the coffee paradigm. That when I say something is with something else, that it means that the second thing is the most important, and the first is just ancillary. It's building up to it. So again, let's read that inside. Lefia nira ha'elo lomar yafet talmud Torah kasher ima derech eretz. It should have said Torah is good when with it is derech eretz, meaning the Torah is the ikar, with it is derech eretz, but instead it says, v'lo Torah im derech eretz, ki asa ikar derech eretz, because that's milk with coffee, and then you're making the derech eretz, which is the ikar. Now you were saying that, okay, that's true, right? Derech eretz is the ikar, but at least we have to ask the question, it doesn't sound like that would be true on a surface level. We would say that Torah should be more important, presumably should be on the top of our value system, the top of the hierarchy, but that's at least, let's leave it as a question for now. But od, if working and toiling in both of them causes sin, if the whole point is working, is toiling, so just toil in Talmud Torah and you're done. Right? Somebody said it before. So just if it's all about toiling, toil in one thing. Why do you have to toil in both? If the whole thing is yegia, toiling, toil in Torah, and that should be your priority. If it's yegia that causes forgetful of sin, I'm just busy, I'm preoccupied. So toil in Torah, forget about malacha. That's question two. Question three, va'od sha'amar kol Torah she'ein ima malacha sofa betela. Any Torah that doesn't have with it some level of work is going to be batel. So the comma is similar to the Babanel's question. But comma talmidei chachamim, hayushaloyu b'amalei malacha. You have so many talmidei chachamim who didn't work, and you're going to tell me that they sinned. The ode lama goreres avon. Why does it say goreres avon? Bishlama, I would understand Masha Amar Lamaila Ki Yegia Shneim Mishkachas Avon. I understand if you're going to say that working hard at both of them is going to make you forget sin. Hainu Shu Mesulak Min Avon. Again, I'm going to be distanced. I'm not going to forget about it. Okay, I'm going to forget about it. I get that. Dikasher Yesha Malacha Ein Sarach Ligzal. I'm not going to have to steal. This is something we didn't bring out. But there's a practicality here. If I don't work, what's the Avon? You should have asked this question before. What's the Avon? What's the sin that's going to be caused? What is the sin? How is it that Torah is going to cause sin? What's the sin? He's saying, I don't have money, then I'm going to, not Gaiva possibly, but from his perspective, I'm going to steal because I need food, right? I'm going to be desperate, so I'm going to have to create some sort of tax fraud or whatever, and I'm going to be, I need the money. So it's going to be Goreris Avon. I'm not going to have to steal. Not that people who have money don't steal also. It sounds like there's a different, it's causing a different sin. Not just stealing, it's a secondary sin. Even without the concept of stealing, this not working is going to the Torah is going to cause me some other sin, not just stealing. Dimkein, Gorerus sounds like it's not just that it's causing a sin; it's leads to it's almost like it's going to cycle and snowball and it's going to continually sin. So we're not just talking about stealing; we're talking about a whole host of averos. He says. Final question. Va'od kol ha'oskim imatzibor ma inyan zelazeh. What does it have to do with anything? The third clause, like we said, you're going to work with the tzibor. Okay, great. What does it have to do with working and and Torah. Vayelo Amar, Hu Haya Omer. It should have said, should have inserted a pause. He used to say this as well. Why are we connecting these things together? Shaya Mashma Musar Bifnei Atzma, independent clause, independent ideas. Umay Inyon Shizchus Avosa Misayasan. And what does that have to do? That their merit of their fathers protect them? It sounds like it's a non sequitur. It's coming out of nowhere. The merit protects them. Okay, great. What does that have to do with anything? B'chen Habu Zahir and Barashah, so that's a separate thing. Okay, so whole host of questions. I think we're up to 10 or so. Right? We got a whole lot of questions. What in the world is going on in this Mishnah? And we could add, they didn't ask this question explicitly yet, but does Derech Eretz mean Midos? Does Derech Eretz mean work? And we're going to see different Mefarshim on that piece. But we're not going to answer any of these questions yet. So this is going to be a cliffhanger. I do want to do one last thing. I know if you're going to the parade, feel free to run out. I do want to show you this last piece in the Abarbanel here. There's another question. So flip back. This question isn't internal to the Mishnah necessarily, so in terms of understanding the message of the Mishnah, it's not so important. But in terms of how you understand Mishnayos in general, it's fascinating. Right? So who wrote Mishnayos?
Rabbi Yehuda
Hanasi. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. So is that true? What?
He himself didn't what?
Edited it and compiled it. Even if that's true, is that true? Right? Is that, if you want to formulate, he didn't write them, but he edited and compiled that. Is that true? Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi edited and compiled it. Great. So what's the problem?
He constructed and people came out.
Forget about the work for now. Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi wrote the previous one. Now this is his son talking. So, and then even stronger question is that there are people who come even after that and after that in further Mishnayos. With the Barbanel here, because this is the first time that you deal with it directly, ask the question. Ha'amnam, the first paragraph on the second side. Ha'amnam, Ech nichtava ha'mishnah hazos, sha'amar Rabbi Gamliel, b'yoso nasi acharei mos aviv, b'so chibur ha'mishnah. So it's a two-part question. Because it's one thing, it's his father. Okay, but son was alive when his father, you know, was still alive too. So maybe it's just that the son said it and the father wrote it down, like any good parent's going to write down what his son says, right? Some nepotism here in the Mishnah, right? But that's not the kusha. So but there's a stronger question to that. What's the question? What is he called here?
How could Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi say it when his son came after him, and he was already dead?
That's possible. But that's not the real problem, because again, as we said, that the father could have been alive when the son said it and wrote it down. But there's a stronger problem. He's called Rabban, right? When did Rabban Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, get the title of Rabban? After his father died. So that's the question. How are we calling him Rabban if his father's already dead in this Mishnah, if his father's the one who's writing the Mishnah? So what? But then he wouldn't be called Rabban.
Right.
So that's the problem. So here we go. So he says, Rabbi Gamliel b'yoso nasi acharei mos aviv b'so chibur ha-mishnah asher asa Rebbe b'chayev. Rebbe did this all when he was alive. In l'fisha amar b'chayev aviv v'aviv kasu b'makom hazeh. So maybe you can say he said it when his father was alive and his father wrote it over here in the name of his son, Rabbi Gamliel. V'acharei moso shenis namneh. After the father died and the son got appointed as the head, as the leader, as the nasi, hosifu bishmo milas rabban. They added in the Mishnah the word rabban. Who's they? That's a good question. Who's they? Some later editor of the Mishnah added the word rabban. It could make sense, but I like it. But it's still controversial in a sense that I don't know. If you said this to a bunch of people, that the Mishnayos were later edited, I think it's pasha and it's true, but not everybody would swallow this that well. Okay, so there. So they did. Okay, good. So good, but we're not done. Let's keep going through Barbanel. Well, we're not talking about the Bible for now, so the Torah is a whole different story. We'll do that a different way. But even in the Mishnah is a canon. Rebbe Yudan, if you went to a 11th grader in some yeshiva somewhere and told them this, or told the Rebbe in the yeshiva this, I don't know what the response would be.
I have to say, the fact that the Abarbanel and others are questioning the wording and why they use those wording is very important. Because the fact. In other words, they're questioning not how do we understand it, they're questioning why is it written this way? Why do they in other words, I would have been inclined to say the reason that the sages saying that.
Right. So
saying, why are we picking these words? Why did he have the right to pick that word? He shouldn't have picked that word. That word is not the right word. And what did he learn?
Right, exactly. And I'm totally with you on this. I'm just saying that the first way you presented it, of that if you're in a class and you ask this question, you would have been told, you know, Das Torah, something or other, like, you know, stop asking questions. Maybe. I'm not imposing on to everybody. But hold your questions for a second. Keep going. So they added the word Rabban after Rabbi Yehuda Nasi died. The Imsha Mishnah Zos Bechlalusa Lo Kasva Rabbi Bechayav. Now it goes even further. Because maybe you could even say that this Mishnah in totality wasn't written when Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was dead. So when I ask you again, when he was alive. So when I ask you again, who wrote all the Mishnayos? You can't say Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. This Mishnah, according to this part of the Barbanel, was written after he died. Aval acharei moso nitosva b'makom hazeh. After he died, they added this whole Mishnah into the Mishnayos. Again, you don't have it. Ukidomel, maybe, again, let's put Tanakh to the side for a second. Ukidomel azet, Timsim Mesechel Pesachim. So he quotes a precedent for this in the Gemara Pesachim, Besov Perak Makum Shenagu, Shekasim Shan B'Mishnah, Shisha Dvarim Asa Chizkiyahu Amelech. There's six things that Chizkiyahu did, but Perak Kama Debrach was in a different Gemara, Huvu Koloso Alacha B'Shem Brisa. So in one place it's a Mishnah, in one place it's a Brisa, which is not included in the Mishnayos. Velo Matzeni, so forget about that aspect for a second. Listen to this language here. The lo matsanu yadenu viraglenu bebeis hamedrash l'taken zeh. We wouldn't be able to do this on our own. I wouldn't be able to say this if it wasn't for imlo al pimash kasef harambam perish mishnas psachim. So we got to hang our hat on the Rambam here. Shazos halacha eno mishnah about tosefta. The Rambam says, even though, you know, it's a mishnah, it's not really a mishnah, it's a tosefta, it's added later. The Rambam does it. V'hu mimash yochiach she'acharei chibur ha-mishnah nitosu ba ma'amarim nivcharim she'ne'emar acharei mos rabbi. There's other places where things were added later on after Rabbi Yehuda Nasi died. V'gam b'talmud shelanu. This is, it goes even further. Even in our Gemara, forget about Mishnayos for a second, Gemara, v'gam b'talmud shelanu yesh harbe halachos she'kasfun rabbanan savra'i. Acharei Petiras Ravina Varavashi. So I'd ask you, who wrote the Gemara? So who wrote the Gemara? So you say the same thing. It's Ravina Ravashi. And you would say, it wasn't Ravina Ravashi who wrote it. They compiled it together. Right? So Ravina Ravashi, the Gemara was sealed, done, 5th century CE. Right? No. They added stuff. The Savrai, which is, you know, 6th, 7th century. They added stuff to the Gemara. Acharei Petiras Ravina Ravashi, Mechibri HaTalmud. Commotion before some Zubasifre say there are Kabbalah, there's other sources that support this idea. So this is fascinating that not everything in them, when you say the Mishnah is reviewed on us, no, most maybe, but some were added later on. Gemara, Ravina Ravashi, 5th century sealed? No, most of it, yes, but there was additions later on. And that's not problematic. That's okay. We can still be from Jews, even though things were added later on. This is within the sources, within Orthodox sources. This isn't kfira, this isn't the problem. This is something that's essential, and it's the only way, really, that you can understand half of these Mishnayos and Perkei Avos that happen after Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is, you know, dead. How do they get into the Mishnah and Perkei Avos? Well, it must be that the Mishnayos and Perkei Avos were compiled a little bit later on after these things were said by the people who said it. Not that it was Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah and, you know, everything was put like... Yeah, 100%. Yeah, this isn't denying what happened, but it's saying that there's additions later on.
Well, why is it so difficult? Because the Gemara comes after the Mishnah, and they build on the Mishnah. So why
no, so Gemaras can build on Mishnahs, but the assumption that you could make is that the Mishnah is a canon that can't be changed, meaning this is what it is, and it's sealed, and it's done. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi finished it off, and the answer is no. Some things came a little bit later. Some things were added a little bit later. Okay, so that's a discussion. So there is a difference. It's a different discussion as to what could have possibly been added later in a Tanakh sense. We're not getting into that now. We can do a different share. And I'm saying there's a whole discussion. The last day, it starts with Gemara's last day of Pesukim. Were they written by Moshe? Were they written by Yeshua? How do you deal with all that? That's the jumping off part within a Talmudic Orthodox context. You can go in lots of non-Orthodox directions here, which is not what we would do. But even within, framework of orthodoxy, it's not so clear that every single thing that is written in Tanakh was, you know, or written in Torah was like Torah literally given at Sinai. Like, there's discussion there. There's stuff to talk about, but that's for a different point in time. Maybe we'll do a Tanakh share on that at some point. But this is enough for now. We have a ton of questions that we need to ask to answer. We've asked them all, and hopefully by next week we'll start to get some better ideas to what's going on here. Okay.